Before I begin the message, just a little caveat here at the beginning from the discussion at the board meeting. You may notice in several sermons I've been asking questions or asking for reading the scripture and asking for a response, and I welcome that. So when I ask for a question, don't hesitate to give the response or to respond to whatever the Lord leads you to do there. Feel free to do that as I'm sharing the word of God in this morning. So, if I was to ask you, who was your favorite when you were growing up as a kid? Who was your favorite superhero? Did you have one?
Dick Tracy.
Dick Tracy. Wow, I didn't even think of him. He wasn't even on my list. Dick Tracy. That was Jeff. Jeff liked Dick Tracy. I didn't even consider him a superhero. I guess he was more an investigator. But maybe... was it Captain America? Maybe it was Captain America or Spider-Man. He is a superhero to many, even still today. Or, the Caped Crusader. He was one of my favorites. You know, Gotham City was safe because anytime that there was the Penguin or the Riddler or the Joker would be in town in Gotham City, Commissioner Gordon would put up that signal for the bat signal. Bruce Wayne would run into the Batcave, and out would come Batman, and boy, Caped Crusader was on the job. He was helped there when we needed it. Or Aquaman. Anybody remember Aquaman? Is he your favorite? Yeah. Bill's shaking his head. Yes, he remembers Aquaman. Or for the ladies, Wonder Woman. Was Wonder Woman your favorite? A superhero with the golden lasso? Or how about Mighty Mouse? Anybody remember Mighty Mouse? Here I am to save the day. He'd come in. Or if Mighty Mouse wasn't your favorite, maybe it was Underdog. Remember Underdog? Everybody likes a good underdog. He's always a good superhero. Or, of course, the best of them all was Superman. He could zip over buildings in a single bound. He could stop a speeding bullet with his hand. He could stop a speeding train. He was faster than a speeding bullet. He is perhaps maybe the best of all superheroes. But my favorite one was Bible Man. Everybody remember Bible Man? Of course, he was there to defeat the forces of evil with the power of the Word of God. He was a good guy. But today we want to talk about the greatest superhero we have, our helper, and that is Jesus, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your and my holy helper. And he's better than a superhero. We don't need a superhero because we have the Holy Spirit. And he is here to help us in many different ways. Jesus said in the scripture that Dreamer read for us in John chapter 16, it's part of Jesus' teaching on the Holy Spirit and who he is. And Jesus had given us these words when he was in the upper room prior to going to the cross, just a few hours away. And it was during the time of the course when they were having what we call the Last Supper, Holy Communion. And they were having that final Passover meal together. And Jesus knew that he would be going to the cross very soon, and he'd be leaving the disciples. So he wanted to give them his last words. It was a time of intense teaching. He had told them that, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and take you to be with me." But he knew. They said, "Where are you going? And how do we know how to get there?" And they knew that they were confused. They didn't understand. And their hearts would be heavy at him leaving. So he said, "I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send somebody. And I'm going to send somebody who's going to be with you forever. And he's not going to leave you. And his presence will abide with you always." And he said, "It's good that I go away, because if I don't go away, he's not going to be able to come." And he said his name is the Comforter or the Counselor. And we see that word used in John chapter 16, verse 7. He said, "It's good for your truth. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come." And that word Counselor is a word that you probably have heard before. It's a combination in English of two Greek words put together called paraclete. And you may have heard that word paraclete before. The word para means alongside of, like a paragraph, where we get the word paragraph. And clete is from the word kaleo or call. And so you put those words together and it means to someone called alongside of you. Jesus says, I'm going to send somebody who's going to be at your side, who you can summon to be your helper, who's going to be with you by your side and is not going to leave you. One, in the broadest sense, the word means a helper or an aide or an assistant. One called to our defense, or in the translation the Dreamer read, an advocate, somebody who's in your corner, somebody who has your back, somebody who's going to be there for you. And this morning, we want to look at the words of Jesus in this portion of John chapter 6 and discover your holy helper and our holy helper, because Jesus shares us three ways that the Holy Spirit is here and sent by God to help us. Three ways your holy helper and our holy helper is working within our life to help us far better than a superhero, because he is God himself. And the first way that he helps us is that he comforts us. It's found in that word, comfort. Some translators say, I will send you another comforter or counselor, but he comes to comfort us. That word comfort, to console, to be alongside, it comes in that, along that word paraclete, to be the one who is alongside of us, to comfort us. How does he comfort us? He consoles us with his presence. Jesus said that I'm going away, but the counselor will come to you, and I will send him, and when he comes, he will be there. Turn with me to John chapter 14, just back a couple chapters, and it's still in the same portion of the same time of teaching in the upper room that Jesus was sharing about the Holy Spirit. But John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18. Everybody there? Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will send you another counselor or comforter, paraclete, to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it does not see him, neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. Jesus said the Holy Spirit, who when he left heaven and came to Pentecost, and the moment you accepted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit, God himself, has taken up residence in your very life. And God himself lives in you through the person of the Holy Spirit. And his presence is with you always, consoling us and comforting us with this presence, to know that he is with us always. Jesus said that he will be with us always. He is with us forever. He will never leave. He will never forsake. Jesus said, I will not leave you as an orphan. I will not abandon you. And the presence of God is with you through the Holy Spirit. God himself dwelling in you, consoling you with his presence. When you're going through a hard time, when you're facing those trials, when you have sickness, when you have adversity, it's a comfort to know that God is present with you in those times, and he will not forsake you in the midst of it. Aren't you thankful for that? It's one of the ways he helps us. Jesus said, it's good that I'm going away, because Jesus, in the flesh, even though he was God, he was limited to one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit is present with all of us, and his presence is there in time of need to bring us comfort, consoling us with his presence. But another way he helps us is he equips us with his power. As we look at verse 7 of John chapter 16, he said, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I go away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But when I go, I will send him to you. And he comforts us and equips us with this power. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said before he ascended into heaven, he said, wait until you receive the promise that I am sending from the Father, the Holy Spirit. But he said, when he comes, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be witnesses for me, but you will receive power. That word power is the word dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. It's explosive power. It's power that enables. Because he gives us the power, and he gives us divine energy, the power to do what we would not do on our own. As we go back to John chapter 16, begin verses 1 to 4, as Jesus was continuing to teach them on and us about what the Holy Spirit would do, he said, "All this I have told you so that you will not go astray." Verse 2, "They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you." But in the context of the Holy Spirit, he's telling them that when the Holy Spirit comes, he gives us the power even to withstand times of persecution and hardship. We don't have that ability on our own, but it's the enabling the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to do. Enables us to love when it's hard to love people. Enables us to forgive when we want to be bitter. Enabling us to release those things and to not carry them. Enabling us to be patient and kind with others when we feel they don't deserve it. Enabling us to show grace when we don't feel like it. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, he gives us divine energy. Far better than any superhero. You have the full energy of God, the power of God within us. And so many times we live as believers a defeated life, and we don't need to be, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, amen, enabling us to live in victory. He gives us that power if we but yield to him. That's one of the ways he helps us, and he gives us divine energy, but he also gives us divine endurance. Notice down in verse 33 the same chapter, he said, "I have told you these things so that you may be in me and have peace. And in this world you will have trouble, but what? Take heart, because I have overcome the world." I have overcome. And he said, you can too. The Holy Spirit gives us power to endure, to press through when we don't feel like it, when we feel like giving up and throwing in the towel because it's getting too tough. The Christian life, and you've heard me say it before, is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And so it's that, and when we get to that point in the marathon, we feel like hitting the wall, like we can't go any farther. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power and the ability to press on, to keep our eye focused on the goal and keep running the race. He gives us endurance because he equips us with power. He consoles us with his presence, and he equips us with power, but he also helps us, comforts us, and he fills us with his peace. Verse 33, again, he says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace." In the midst of a raging storm around us, in the midst of a chaotic world, in the midst where it seems like things are falling apart around us, God speaks his peace in our heart. And his presence is there through the Holy Spirit, bringing us peace in the midst of the storm. Turn with me to John chapter 14 as we go back again a couple chapters to verse 26 and 27. As Jesus again speaking about the Holy Spirit and his work within us, said, "But when the Counselor," or the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, "whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let it be afraid." Paul went on to say in Philippians, it's the peace that passes all human understanding. It's the peace that the world does not understand, that in the midst of tragedy or adversity in our life, we can still know that God is good. That's what that peace is. And the world doesn't understand that, because Jesus says they don't know the Spirit because they don't have him. And so it doesn't make sense to them. They can't understand why do we have peace. But the Holy Spirit is that peace. He fills us with that. Aren't you thankful there's peace there always? And he helps us with our prayers. In chapter 16, verses 23 to 24, Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit again, said, "In that day you will no longer ask me anything, for I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked me for anything. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." And turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. And you may remember these verses from when we were in Romans not too long ago. But Paul, as he was talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, said, I hear the page turn, it's good. "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with his will." One of the ways he helps us and comforts us is he helps us with our prayers. In those times when we are so burdened, and we come to the Lord and so burdened with the concern we have, we don't know how to express it or take it to God and say, "Father, I can't even express to you how I'm feeling." And in times like that, the Holy Spirit, who is in us, who is God in us, expresses those feelings to God for us, the Father for us, on our behalf. Aren't you thankful for that? And he helps us in praying that way in accordance with the will of God in our times of weakness, when we feel we can't. So he, our Holy Helper, helps us and he comforts us. But second, way he helps us is he convicts us. And you say, "Well, wait a minute, Dan, that don't sound like a help. Conviction? Why is that a way of helping me? That sounds like a negative thing." But conviction is really a positive thing, because the word convict means to shine a light onto something, or to expose, or to convince. To get us to that point that we're convinced that, you know, God's right, and what God says about me or what God says in his word is true. And that's what conviction is. We realize that. The light goes on. And you know, there's a lot of people in this world in darkness that don't see the light. And the conviction that the Holy Spirit is, boy, the light goes on. And say, "That's right. God's right what he says." And it's the Holy Spirit that does that work of conviction. And he says here in verses 8 and 9, "When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." That's part of his word, to bring light, to convince. And you know, friends, that is the Holy Spirit's role and job to do. We cannot convince or convict anybody of sin. You know, sometimes we try, and some people try to argue with people that they're wrong or right, or argue people into the kingdom. It's not our job to point out to people they're sinners. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convince and to convict, right? We can't ever convict or convince anybody. That's the Holy Spirit's job. All we can do is share the truth and let the Holy Spirit do his work and convince people, hey, what God said's right. That's the truth. But that's his role, to convince. And he convicts us of the presence of sin. He says, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin. Verse 9, in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. So part of the role of the Holy Spirit in his work of conviction is both in the world and in us. As he convinces us of the presence of sin in our life, he shows us by the light of his holiness those things in our life that we still need to deal with. Those things in our life that are not in accordance with God's word and truth that we are still trying to hide. Or those things in our life that we still haven't yielded to the Lord. He convinces us or convicts us, hey, there's some area of your life you still need to surrender to me. There's an area of your life you're holding out on that you still got to give to me. And that's his role within us to convict us of those things, but also to convict the world. And in the world, it says his conviction that he brings is on sin because they don't believe in me. The world's sin is unbelief in Jesus. And The role of the Holy Spirit is to convince people that Jesus is Lord. To convince people that Jesus is who he claimed to be, because the world's sin is unbelief in Jesus. They refuse to believe or acknowledge Christ as Lord. And isn't that true? Don't we see that around us? People refuse to acknowledge that Christ is Lord. They think they are. They think they can live as they want. They call the shots. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to show, no, Jesus is Lord, and we need to surrender to him. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit, and we can't convince. So what do we do for those people that are in darkness, those people that we love or within family or friends that are still in unbelief? Well, we got to pray. Pray for them that the Holy Spirit will do his work of conviction in their heart and that they'll hear and listen to his voice. But he convicts of the presence of sin. He also convicts of the need of righteousness. Because he said when he comes, he'll convict the world in guilt of sin and righteousness. He says in verse 10, in regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father while you will see me no longer. What did Jesus mean by that? He was saying that the Holy Spirit's role is to show us our need of righteousness because Jesus said, I've come and prepared the way, and now I'm going back to the Father, and in order to see me, you have to trust in me. You have to have my righteousness. Jesus made righteousness available because he paid the price. He died on the cross and shed his blood and made the way. And righteousness is needed because Jesus went back to the Father. And if we want to see him, we have to be righteous as he is. The Bible says, without holiness, no one can see the Lord. Without holiness, we can't enter his presence. And righteousness is needed, and Jesus provided it, and it's by accepting him. And so the Holy Spirit's role is to convict us, to make us see, and to convince us to see we need the righteousness of Christ. If we try to enter heaven on our own merit, if we try to enter heaven on our own works, we're going to fall way short, aren't we? It's the Holy Spirit's role to help us see we need the righteousness of Christ. That's the only way to get that. It's provided by Jesus alone. His work of conviction. And he also convicts of the reality of judgment. He said he will convict our sin, righteousness, and judgment. Verse 11, he said, in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. And to that I say, amen. And the Holy Spirit's role in conviction of judgment is that he helps us convict and be convinced that the people, that judgment day is coming, that it is a reality. According to what Jesus said, the verdict has already been declared. The prince of this world stands condemned. God has already put the verdict and sentence on him. He has already pronounced the sentence that his destiny is a lake of fire for all eternity. And he is doomed. He may try to fight. He may try to rage. And he will, but he is not going to win this war. Amen? And there is a judgment day coming. People live today like that doesn't happen, like that's not true. Like, I can do whatever I want and get away with it. But there is a day. And the Holy Spirit's role is to convince of the reality of judgment. Remember in the story of Noah, God said to Noah in his time of righteousness, of wickedness, upon the earth that was so wicked, only Noah was a righteous man. God said, I'm going to destroy the whole earth. You know the story. And for 120 years, Noah built the boat, the ark, as he prepared for the flood. And through that time, he preached that there's a judgment day coming. God's going to set judgment on this earth. Everybody laughed at Noah. Thought he was crazy. They said, Noah, you're a drip. Building a boat where there'd never rained before? You're crazy. And they saw the ark go up. Get closer as it was getting finished. Judgment day was coming. They didn't care. Till the day that the door was closed, the rain fell, and they cried out, but it was too late. The judgment had come. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so will be in the coming of the Son of Man. If you've ever been to the Ark Encounter, and you go to the Ark Encounter and you see that structure, which is immense, and it's incredible. And they built that up on top of the hill so everybody can see it. And part of the reason why they did that was to be a sign of the coming of judgment, as it was in Noah's day. God is going to send judgment again. And you know how many, they told us when we went there, how many threats they have God against them. People don't want that there because it reminds them of something that happened and something going to happen again. People don't want to hear that. But the Holy Spirit's role is to convince people that Judgment Day is a reality. We're living in a time of grace. And thank God for his grace. But there is a day when the judgment is coming. So he helps, then he comforts us, he convicts us of sin. But the third way he helps us is that he counsels us. He is our counselor. Another way he is called is, lest I go away, the counselor will not come to you. That word counsel, giving instruction. The Holy Spirit is your best counselor. And if you need guidance and instruction and help in your life for a decision to make, the best counselor in your life to listen to is the voice of the Holy Spirit within you. He is sent to give us that counsel and to give us that guidance if we but listen to his voice and are in tune with him. And don't be deceived by the lies. He counsels us and that he guides us into the truth of God. We see in verses 12 to 13, Jesus said, I have much more to say to you about that, more than you could now bear. And he knew that he would be going to the cross and the disciples are going to be dealing with the crucifixion in a couple hours. And he knew they couldn't handle all this right now. But he said, but when he, the Holy Spirit, comes to you, he will guide you into the truth. He'll help you understand. He'll reveal to you more. And he will speak to you on his own. He will not speak to you on his own, but will speak only what he hears and of what is yet to come. And he guides us into the truth of God himself. We call that divine guidance. That we have the divine guidance from God himself because it's God living in you. Guiding us into the truth of who Jesus is. Not just the truth of his word, but the truth there meaning all that is true. And all that is from God himself. He also counsels us and he reveals to us the heart of God. He helps us know God better. In verses 13 and 14, he says, he will not speak on his own, but he will only speak by what he hears. He will tell you what is yet to come, and he will bring glory to me by taking from his mind and making it known to you. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's role is to take what was from him and from the Father, the very heart of God, and make it known to us so that we can understand and know God better and know his ways better. Now, we can never comprehend in our mind, in our human flesh, the greatness and all the greatness and glory of God. But the Holy Spirit can give us more insight into God and his ways than we ever could have on our own. And he gives us that if we but ask him. He will make it known to us. He will reveal more about God to us. And the deeper things of the truth of God. Turn with me. We call that divine insight. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 9 to 12. And here, Paul was talking about the Holy Spirit and his power and his work within us. And he just talked about the glories of heaven await. And in verse 9, he said, it is written that no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor mind conceived all that God has prepared for those who love him. We like to dream and speculate about heaven. I know Gary does, and he reads the book about heaven and the glory of what's awaiting us. But Paul says we can't even begin to comprehend the greatness of that. But he said, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among man knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. For we have not received the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Paul says that the Holy Spirit has been given to us so we can understand the deeper things of God better. And so need to pray, Lord, help me through your Holy Spirit know you better, to know you more intimately, to reveal yourself in a greater way to me as I come to your word. Reveal yourself to me through your word that I can know you in a deeper way. that I can begin to understand. And part of that is the Holy Spirit helps us understand when we're going through hard times in our life. And it seems like nothing makes sense. And we say, the Holy Spirit helps us say, Lord, how? To help us see how God can bring something good out of that. Because we're in the midst of it, we say, how can anything good ever come out of this? You ever been in a time like that? We say, how can anything good ever come out of this mess? You ever feel like that sometimes? But the Holy Spirit helps us in those times to see, yes, God has a good purpose in it. Helps us to understand the heart of God that we may not know the reason, but yet God has the insight of God is that he's using it for our good. And he'll be glorified in it. And the Holy Spirit reveals those things to us in a way that we will know. He also teaches us the word of God. He says back in John 16, when he comes, the Spirit of truth, verse 13, he will guide you in the truth. And notice he's called the Spirit of truth because just as God is truth, he is truth. And everything that the Spirit says is true because he is God himself. And he, the Spirit of truth, will guide us in the truth, into all truth, everything that is true. And he teaches us the word of God so we can understand that we call that divine illumination. And remember, the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture. He's the one who breathed it into existence. He's the author. And if you want to know a book well, talk to the author, right? The author knows he wrote the book. And God, through the Holy Spirit, can help us understand his word. And I always make it a practice, and I encourage you to make that a practice. And anytime you come to the word of God in your daily life, when you're opening up the word of God to read it at home or study it, pray first and say, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, give me insight. Help me to see you in your word. Help me to hear and see what you're trying to say to me. In your word, give me illumination to understand and see. Teach me what you want me to know from your word today. Because he will, if we but listen to his voice, that's part of his role. He teaches us. In John 14, verses 24 to 26, Jesus said, he who does not love me will not obey my teaching. But these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Verse 25, all this I have spoken while I am still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. And he will remind you of everything I have said to you. Jesus had spent 3 years with his disciples, and after they ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit came to them after Pentecost and began to remind them of everything Jesus said to them. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, they wrote that down for us so that we could know the teachings of Christ. But he helps us understand that, the word of God. He is your teacher and the best teacher we have. I like the Peanuts. And I found this Peanut cartoon. It says, Linus, reading the Bible, says, there's no better teacher than the Holy Spirit. There's no better text than God's word. And he gives us that understanding and insight. He also speaks to us the will of God. Verse 13, again, Jesus said, he will not speak on his own when the Spirit comes. He will not speak on his own, but will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you of what is yet to come. That's divine communication from God himself. That through the Holy Spirit, he is speaking to you personally. Through his word, through your spirit, as his spirit speaks to your spirit and communicates God's word and God's will to you in a personal way. Jesus said he does not speak on his own words, nor his own will. The Holy Spirit only speaks what is told to him by the Father and the Son. And he takes Jesus' words and the Father's will and reveals that to you and me so we understand it better. And that's important to know that we need to listen and be so close to Jesus and so close to the Lord that we recognize the Spirit of truth when he speaks. Because I've heard some people say, well, the Spirit, have you ever heard anybody come to you and say, well, the Spirit told me or God told me to do so and so? And I've heard people say, God told me to go and leave my wife and marry somebody else. No, that wasn't the Spirit of God speaking to you, telling you that. God will never tell us to do, the Spirit will never ever lead us to do anything that is against what He has revealed in God's Word. What He has revealed to us in the Word of God and what is already the revealed will of God, He will never ever lead us to do anything contrary to that. If you hear somebody in your voice, in your mind, speaking to you, leading you to do something contrary to what God has already revealed in His Word, that's not the Spirit of truth speaking to you. That's the spirit of the evil one. And remember, the Bible says that Satan is a deceiver. He can masquerade himself as an angel of light, and he can deceive even the elect if possible. And so we need to know the truth of the Word of God, but He will speak the will of God to us and make it clear. Whatever is known of the Father, He makes it known to us. So you have a divine helper, our holy helper, far better than any superhero that we could ever think. He convicts us. He is our counselor, our intercessor, our comforter, our advocate, our strengthener. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, our convictor, and our counselor. Ways in which He works in us. And Jesus said, "It's for your good that I'm going away, so that I can send Him to be with us always." The comforting presence of God, the counsel of His truth, and the conviction of our need of repentance and dealing with our sin. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the work of Your Holy Spirit within us. Lord, that You did not, when You went away, You did not leave us as orphans, but You came to us through the person of the Holy Spirit who lives in every single one of us. God Himself dwelling in us, helping us, our holy helper, far greater than any superhero could ever be. Lord, You help us by giving us comfort with Your very presence, Your peace that sustains us that the world does not have or understand, Your abiding presence in our life. Also, Lord, You help us by convicting us and showing us where we have fallen short of areas in our life that we still need to yield to You and to make right. And You convict us of that, Lord, out of love. Because as any good father, any good parent, You bring that correction so that we will deal with that and love You more. And Father, as well, You comfort us. You help us by counseling us, by giving us direction in our life through Your Word, making it clear to us, helping us understand Your heart, Your will, Your desire for us, and revealing more of Yourself to us and giving us that counsel and instruction that we need for daily living and to make the decisions that are godly in our life. So thank You, Lord, for the work of Your Holy Spirit in us now and forever, continuing to abide, continuing to guide us. And thank You, Lord, that You sent that counselor. And Lord, we give You praise for him and what he's done, and knowing that someday, because of him within us, we will see You. And Your Holy Spirit gives us that longing for someday to know that we'll be home with You. So guide and direct us this week as we walk with You and as we keep in step with Your Spirit who leads us. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.